the Egyptians came into the passage and the water rushed back against them. They remind me of the people around the Noah's Ark. When the water picked up the ark, I wonder if there were some people that wanted to get in. Maybe the same one that were mocking and laughing and condemning Noah's patient building of the ark. I wonder if at the moment when the waves of the sea were hurled upon the Egyptians, if at that time they did believe the Lord. In a way they did, because they said to one another, let's flee from the Hebrews, for the Lord is fighting for them. Where were their eyes and ears and their mind and heart until this moment? Could they not see way before that, when the first thing happened, when Moses' rod turned into a serpent in front of Pharaoh's eyes? Why they couldn't see that was the Lord fighting for his people? And after the first plague, why they couldn't see it? And second and third and all the plagues, they couldn't see it. They didn't want to see it. Didn't some of them talk to Pharaoh and say, how long will this Moses be a snare to us? Let the people go. Seest thou not that the land of Egypt is destroyed? But the seat of Satan, the throne of Satan, was so firm in the heart and mind of the Egyptians that they could not change their mind and at least somewhat fear and worship the Lord. At least confess, as some other people did, like Nebuchadnezzar, who said, there is no God like your God. The Egyptians tried to go through the Red Sea. And we see that today, don't we? How many denominations, how many groups use baptism? Only to mock the Lord. Only to twist the word of God. Only to blind the eyes of their followers. Only to give false security. But without faith, it is impossible to come to God. And faith without the fruits of the Spirit is dead. The living faith is the gift of God. The dead faith is the product of human imagination, darkened by sin. And as the Egyptians died in the Red Sea, so everyone, without trusting and obeying the Lord, remains in death by some form of water baptism that is not in obedience to the word of God. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. The walls of Jericho fell down after the faith was confirmed by compassing the walls 7 days. it was necessary to be so patient. It was necessary to be so prompt. Why not 7 times first day? Let's get over with that. No. It has to be exactly the way the Lord has said it. We remember when Joshua went out of the camp one night when they were in the vicinity of the city of Jericho, and there appeared to him a person in human form with a sword in his hand. And Joshua asked, "Art thou ours or one of our enemies?" And that warrior answered, "No." What kind of an answer is that? Joshua asked, "Are you ours or one of our enemies?" And he said, "No." And the captain of the heavenly army, immediately Joshua took off his shoes and bowed down with his face to the ground. He had only one question: what is the commandment of the Lord? That's an Israelite that will enter into the promised land. So when Joshua received the commandment of the Lord, he related it to the children of Israel, and he said exactly, step by step, how is that going to be. First day, once around the city. Faith is obedience. Faith means faithfulness. When Saul, the first king, demanded by the people, granted by the Lord, successful in battles, but never conquered in his heart. When he received the instruction and the commandment of the Lord to destroy the Amalekites, he did everything but. Everyone but. And so he was rejected. No buts with the Lord. Joshua said, "What is the commandment of my Lord?" So they obeyed. And that was true faith, obedience. They walked around the city. They walked in the order as they were commanded. Soldiers in their place, the priests with the Ark of the Covenant in their place, and the people in their place. They went around the city and returned back into the camp. A long journey, not a single word may be heard. Silence. Only the sound of the trumpet. Oh, that we could learn the gospel so well. That there be not a single word of ours. Only the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. As a trumpet calling, come to the Savior while the day of grace is going on. Such was the faithfulness that was blessed and rewarded by the fall of the city of Jericho. Seventh day was a long journey. They went around once and twice and 3 times. And after they compassed the walls of Jericho 6 times. Still, Jericho is a mighty city. Nothing can conquer that city. Or at least that's how it appears to be. But they continued 7 times. I think they must have been tired. 7 times quietly walking. And they're almost done, but the city is still standing. And few more steps, and they will be exactly at the same spot where they started their journey. 7 circles before. And at the moment when they stepped at the same point where they started, the word of God was fulfilled. If the people of God are faithful, there is no question if God will be faithful. He is always faithful, even when His people are not. But thankfully, they were faithful, and the testimony has been preserved for us to read and to feed our souls with that. Be thou faithful unto death, until death, until the last moment. Faithful until the revelation of God's glory. So, the walls of Jericho fell down. There was a house on the wall. In that house there was some faith. There was the house of Rahab, and quite a few people were in that house. She has called her relatives. All those that believed to her came to find refuge in her house. For her house was the only house of faith in the city of Jericho. How was that faith confirmed in the beginning? By receiving the spies of the children of Israel, protecting them, and confessing to them that everyone in Jericho is filled with fear because they know what God did in the past, and they know that He can do it again. Only they did not know how, what He was going to do. But they were sensing, feeling their destruction is coming soon. They didn't want to surrender to that God. They tested Him to the last moment, just like the Egyptians. That's tragic. That's the tragedy of sinners. To test God to the last moment. Not knowing that they are actually testing themselves. And proving that they are rebellious. That's human tragedy. But there is a tragedy of tragedies when the people that heard the word of God, that were called by God, that were delivered many times, and they're testing God to the end until they left their bones in the wilderness. Not only. In the days of Jeremiah the prophet, the children of Israel were testing the Lord, sinning against the Lord, disobeying the Lord, doing quite the opposite whenever He sent a message by Jeremiah, until it was too late. And yet, the grace of God blossomed in that wilderness of sin, blossomed into the conversion of Daniel, Mishael, Azariah. What was the name of the third one? I remember the Babylonian names, but not the Israeli names, the beautiful names. The four of them believed the Lord and turned to the Lord because the word of God was proven right and true. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. She received the spies with peace. She believed the Lord. So many testimonies. The time is much faster than I. In the verse 32, the writer of this epistle says, "And what shall I more say? The time would fail me to tell of all of them." If those that wrote the Bible by the Spirit of the Lord didn't have enough time, what can be said of such a weak and broken vessel that I am? He cannot tell us everything about Gideon, and yet this is a lot. Gideon had faith. God gave him faith. And Barak, he had doubts and fears, just like Gideon, but God gave him faith. And Samson, one of the sinful prophets, one of the judges that misjudged his self-will and lust and the power of the enemy. But he had to face the fact that the enemy has great power over those that do not walk close with the Lord. But in the end, he said, "Oh Lord, have mercy upon me, and let me die with the Philistines. Let me help my people in my death, since I abused the Lord's power in my life." And so he did. And 3,000 of the rulers of the Philistines died, crushed in the building of their celebration, where they praised their gods, saying, "Our gods delivered our enemy into our hands." Their gods were idols, but it were not their idols that delivered Samson into their hands. Samson's own idols delivered him into their hands. But then he remembered the Lord, and the Lord did not forget him. So in his death, he was a hero, though in his life, he often was a fool. Jephthah had faith. covenant. And he fulfilled that covenant with bitterness. He needed more faith before he could taste the delight of doing God's will, the joy of serving the Lord and not blaming anyone for his grief. David. David. God made him an example of courage and faithfulness when he was still a child. And he went against Goliath. And many years later, when David jumped into the abyss of destruction, the Lord made David an example of true repentance. God had chosen David to show that the greatness of great people is not in them, but in the Lord. And so, David's name is here recorded in the testimony of the faithful. But then Samuel and the prophets. Samuel was a faithful prophet of the Lord, faithful child of a faithful mother. When we think of a young brother leaving the circle of the fellow believers and going to a place where there is no hope of meeting godly people, but rather testing, trials, temptations, enticement, the world of sin and iniquity, it is comforting, it's encouraging to remember Samuel, a child left in the custody of sinful priests. The sinners of this world are not as detrimental to the faith of God's people as the sinful priests. The Lord Jesus Christ said that the judgment against Sodom and Gomorrah will be more tolerant than the judgment against his own people that rebelled against the will of the Lord. And yet, in the presence of that kind of sinners, sinful priests, the child Samuel grew up to become a faithful prophet of the Lord. I think it would be too much to say that that was Samuel's faith. It was the faithfulness of our Lord implanted into Samuel's heart and mind. And many other prophets, many others, witnesses to the truth of the Lord, through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turn to flight the armies of the aliens. These, through faith, subdued kingdoms. I think quite a few of these that have been mentioned here. Samson was battling the kingdom of the Philistines, Jephthah, also against the enemies of the children of Israel. David was famous not only in his kingdom, but in all the surrounding kingdoms. And quite a few of the kings made a peace with David and even paid tributes. Even more so in the days of Solomon, Samuel was battling the wars against the enemies of the Lord's people. Wrote righteousness, quite a few of them, and perhaps with the exception of Samson, all of them were righteous people, especially after the Lord's calling. And some of them obtained promises. I think one of the most famous, most celebrated promises is the promise that the Lord gave to David, that of his seed he will raise the king upon his throne, and so on. Not only one king, but the King of Kings. Then some of them stopped the mouths of lions, or closed the mouth of lions. Daniel was one of those whom the Lord has protected in the den of lions. In the verse 34 we read that some of them quenched the violence of fire. In the book of Daniel we read about the three faithful witnesses in the furnace of fire in the days of King Nebuchadnezzar. And that was a great testimony. They didn't have the promise from the Lord that the fire will not hurt them, and they were willing, if the Lord's will is, to be burned in that fire. Their executors, the executioners, the servants of the king Nebuchadnezzar, were not willing to die in the fire, yet they did. Here we read of the next thing: they escaped the edge of the sword. The first one that came to my mind is David running away from the king Saul, and often was in a very tight situation, and yet he believed in the help of the Lord, and he did not believe in surrendering. Then we read something that is rather unusual, or maybe it is usual with the Lord. Out of weakness were made strong. I think that Gideon was one of those that out of weakness was made strong. Barak also, he was so weak that he wouldn't go if the prophetess Deborah was leading the battle. And yet afterward the Lord gave a grand victory. And I would say that quite a few, one way or another, became strong. Even though they were weak in the beginning, they became strong through the obedience to the word of God. And some of them waxed valiant in fight. In the battle, they become valiant. They become strong to do the will of the Lord after they experience God's goodness and God's protection. They turned to flight the armies of the aliens. I could also mention Jonathan, the son of Saul, as one of those that became strong out of weakness and then turned to flight the armies of the aliens. When Jonathan said to his armor bearer, let's go and meet these Philistines. It's nothing for the Lord to obtain victory through one or through many. I see in that Jonathan's growth, growing out of weakness. When Jonathan was facing Goliath, he was weak like the others. He was afraid. But in this case, when most of the Israelites were hiding for fear of the Philistines, Jonathan led his armor bearer into a battle and a great victory. Of course, that was the grace of the Lord. It was the help of the Lord. But through that help, Jonathan grew very strong and turned the armies of the aliens to flight.